We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
If you're listening to this pod, clearly the answer is no. Clearly the answer is no. You keep asking everybody. You keep looking for the answer you want
to
hear.
You're trying to get someone to say yes. It's no.
It's no.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host, Erica. Erica, I am talking to you from Prague.
Oh, glad you made it safe. How's it feel?
I did. Feels good. I've got my little espresso cup sitting in my Airbnb. So if you're watching the video and also for the clips this week, might be a little dark. People are sleeping in the Airbnb. It's only 8 a.m. here. So I was like, I've tried to like huddle in front of a window for some light in my room.
Yeah, and this is perfect for myself, who is a night owl. It is 11 p.m. my time.
It's so funny when we were trying to figure out when to record. I'm like, these time zones might be better than our actual ones in terms of your schedule and my schedule.
Well, I have been complaining that nobody does anything at night in L.A., so this is keeping me occupied.
Here we are. Here we are, some nighttime plans for you.
Yeah, not that I'm usually out at 11 p.m., but you know what I mean.
Yeah. So I made it. It was quite an adventure getting here. I had booked, you know, when you book like two legs of a journey, but you don't book them on the same ticket, like two separate airlines, kind of like totally don't know about each other, whatever. I did that. And I, in hindsight, booked too tight of a connection in between my like international flight and then my layover to have the like quick journey to Prague. I was running through the Frankfurt airport yesterday. I pulled a hammy. That is what happens now, apparently, when I run.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made it safe anyway. You made the flight? You did make it?
I did make the flight. Same thing with, remember how in Athens, you and I missed our connection because we had to like check our bag. We had to like re-get our bags and like all that shit. So same thing. I was waiting for my bag. I was like nervous, sweating it out, whatever. I actually missed the cutoff to check that bag, but ended up convincing the German, it was in Frankfurt, the like German gate agent or whatever, check-in agent, to let me do it anyway. And then sprinted through the airport, made my connection. And I have to say, so again, I use the time shifter app. I am a convert. And it actually only had me sleep for a small portion of the flight. And I wasn't sure if I should take regular CBD or my melatonin, like what I should do with my Sunset Lake. I ended up taking the regular Sunset Lake CBD rather than the one that has melatonin in it, since I didn't have to sleep for very long. It was so perfect for the plane.
Yeah, definitely just gets you in that nice, relaxed mode. Because I've actually been using just the regular CBD more myself, even like the little gummies, because that's my favorite. And it also feels like almost like a little dessert after dinner. I'd take a couple of those, chill on my couch, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, I could go to bed right now. And I forgot that I was just taking CBD 2 seconds ago.
You're like, wow, I'm so relaxed. Yeah, idiot, you did this to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was perfect. So I was able to get my time shifter recommended amount of sleep. And if the listeners want to try Sunset Lake CBD, you can go to sunsetlakecbd.com. We have a promo code. It's 20% off everything on their website. It is FMH2020.
Yep. Just go to sunsetlakecbd.com. Use our code FMH20 for 20% off.
Yeah. So what have you been up to during the day in LA? What's been going on?
I mean, to be honest, I do a lot of just work from home stuff. I've been coffee shop hopping is my new, like, I don't want to say hobby, but kind of. I don't know. I have never been somebody that was great at the full work from home life. And also, since everybody does stuff during the day, I made a list on my phone of anyone I know in LA, just anybody I know that's out here.
Yeah.
That it's like, who could you hit up, or you would at least feel comfortable hitting up to be like, hey, want to get lunch or want to get a coffee? So a couple times a week, I've just been meeting with friends at a coffee shop while we both do work and obviously get some social time in.
Yeah.
And what I really like about making the list, and I would recommend this for anybody that moves anywhere, is I don't feel like I am bothering anybody because I'm like spreading it out of different people to just hit up. Yeah. Even at night, because some, you know, I don't have as many shows out here as I did in New York. I'm building it up. I'm working on it. But it'll get me out of the house of like, hit up that comedian, see if they have a show, or hit up this friend. And it's actually been a lifesaver. And what I originally was doing was, I am like an Instagram save fanatic.
Yes, all your men that you have saved on Instagram.
Yeah, listen, hey, that's not a bad method either, okay? That I don't know if I've directly talked about that publicly, but if across a man on Instagram, okay. The saving on Instagram originally started in the pandemic, which just made great sense, right? We couldn't meet anybody. We couldn't see anyone. Sometimes you go down a deep rabbit hole through Instagram and you just find some cute man and you're like, well, you know, can't meet anybody in person, but I'll just save him in this category and maybe I'll DM him when we're allowed to go outside. You know, that's how it started. All innocent. And now it's one of my new favorite tools to use for not only men, but food and just recommendations for things. Because you can do different categories now, which is really, really nice.
Yeah, it's really convenient.
Yeah. So I don't know how the listeners would feel about this, but there are some men that I saved in there that I was like, oh, he's got a girlfriend. I could circle back on that later and see if that's still going on. which actually is very hard to figure out.
Just keep checking in on this man.
Well, there actually is a new man I added to the folder. I went on a deep rabbit hole on this man. And I found a girlfriend that I don't think is his girlfriend anymore, but it was only from 2021.
That's 2 years ago at this point.
Right? And I'm like, not a post about her in 2 years. Who knows? So, and this is someone I met in real life, by the way. So I am following this man. But I will admit the majority of the saved Instagram men I have not met. The point is, you know, sometimes maybe you circle back and you check in, you see if the relationship's still happening. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm not stepping on anybody's toes.
It's funny that you mentioned that because two of our questions for our Hot Topics episode that we'll get to later are kind of tangentially related to that.
All right. Makes sense. It happens, right?
Yeah.
So here's an interesting thing. I wonder if this has ever happened to you. The ex-girlfriend looks exactly like me. Like very similar features. I do not know if she's tall, but I sent a screenshot to a friend and was like, tell me how much you think this looks like me. And they were like, holy shit, that is pretty close. That looks like that could be
so
your sister. And I don't know. I took that as I'm in.
You're in.
I take it as I'm in, right? Not creepy, and I would never want to date someone that looks like my ex. I feel like most people have a type. I think you're in.
Yeah.
Right?
That's never happened to me before I date someone. where like I notice, you know what I mean? It has.
Oh, I know. Because I've noticed the exact same thing after me. Yeah.
There was this one particular guy. I can't remember. I can't remember if I've given him a nickname, but he's a guy that I like grew up with. And we had an on again, off again thing for many, many years. We tried like to date five different times across the course of from the time we were 15 until like the latest time. I think we were like 28, 29. He's married with a baby now. So we're no longer trying to date. but he, so like I said, we dated in high school, off and on in high school, and then we both went to college. His college girlfriend, we've talked about this, me and him, carbon mm-hmm. copy. She's small, mm-hmm. but like little.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. But like face in the face.
Facial features.
Carbon
yeah.
copy. Yes. It is nuts. And the first time this was before Instagram, I saw it on Facebook. It came up and I distinctly remember I was sitting in my freshman dorm room and my roommate and I were like best friends. and I was sitting in my freshman dorm room and I was scrolling through Facebook, looking at, you know, whatever, the wall, whatever the fuck Facebook was at the time. Very, very early Facebook days. Mm-hmm. And I saw this and I just like flew back. Was like, get over here.
Yeah.
Look at this mm-hmm. picture.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how I felt. And it was, and I feel like people have mixed feelings on this, but I think it's a sign in a positive direction.
Oh yeah, they liked what you looked like.
Right, because if you saw three ex-girlfriends that looked the complete opposite of you, I'd be more like, all right, might be more of a challenge, you know?
Maybe, but then again, maybe this is good. Maybe this is going to be a stretch.
Right, and it's, you know, I'm clear, and I'm not saying everyone absolutely has a type that they never stray from. Like, still shoot your shot with whoever you want. Yeah. DM, whoever you think is cute, attractive, whatever. Go for it, all right? Because who knows? I am someone that leans towards having a type, but obviously I've still strayed out of my type.
Of course.
Like, both things are true. Yeah. I did end up DMing this person because I met them in real life.
Yeah. Okay. So you met him in real life, you saved him in your man folder, and then you DM'd him.
I did. Yeah. Because I saved it in the man folder and I was like, why are we saving it in the folder? We're not sure. So we have somewhat mutual friends. Okay. And I just played into being new in LA.
It's such a perfect play. I think you could use this for a long time.
I think it's a great play. So basically, I was at a show hanging out, and he was there hanging out with one of the comedians. He was a friend of one of the comedians. So I was like, oh, okay. And he like seemed to know everyone. So I was like, all right, why not? And then I just sent a note that was like, hey, great to meet you. Like, let me know if you're ever, you know, hanging out at that show again or something. I'm new in town. So, you know, let me know. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And then I just threw him my number. So he texted me.
Ooh. Okay. So we're texting now.
Right. But I do not know if this is friend zone thing.
Yeah.
Or possible flirty thing.
That is the hard thing. I love the meeting in real life thing, right? Like I'm committed to it. I'm all for it. I'm excited. But like the thing that is so nice about dating apps is that you do know they're trying to date you.
Right. And you know, well, you know that they are hopefully single as
they're,
well.
That's literally why I use the phrase they're trying to date you, because that's actually the only thing we do know.
Right.
And maybe they're not single. Oh, let's hope they are. But at the very least, at a base level, they are like romantically interested. You don't have to worry about that part.
Yeah, something at least.
They don't think you're friends.
Yeah. So I'm I don't know. I got to figure out, maybe not figure out, but hopefully I will see that guy somewhat soon again.
And
then I did have my date from the chaotic singles party that I met.
Oh, yes. That was this past week, right?
Yeah. So he originally asked me to get ice cream, which I actually love that idea for a date instead of a drink to switch it up. I prefer it over a coffee. I don't know. Maybe it's like it brings like a childlike fun energy, you know, with coffee.
I also think that coffee just, it has an interview connotation. It has like a, hey, can I pick your brain about something for a minute connotation.
Yeah. A little bit. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he asked me to get an ice cream. We ended up having to move it. The time didn't work great because I ended up picking up a show. So then we actually got brunch, which I don't think I've ever done brunch for a first date, but I'm not opposed.
Have I? I don't think I have either. Okay.
So, date overall, easy to talk to, similar to at the chaotic singles party. Really did not feel that feeling at all during the date of like thinking of a question to ask. Yeah.
That's a great time.
Yeah, he asked me like a couple questions, but they weren't, it's like not anything special, but you know, I don't know. It just felt like a great back and forth. Like, I don't know exactly what details to share. So two things happened though during the date. That one of them I want to get your opinion on and possibly the listener's opinion on, because it's something that I did sit there and think like, am I crazy, but like, is this a thing that is like a notable kind of flag?
Interesting. Okay. Wait, question first.
What
are we calling this guy?
Oh, Should we call him the lawyer? Because I feel like that's the only other thing I referenced about him.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Has anyone been the lawyer on the show? Is that from Rourke?
No, and I, you know, you met him when you were with Rourke, so I think it's fitting.
Yeah, right? Okay, so I'll call him.
Yeah, no, we don't have a lawyer.
Yeah, the male lawyer. So we'll call him the lawyer. So I met him at the place, and it was like on a perfect corner. So the hostess stand is outside, lots of outdoor seating. We got there, we're standing outside, just the two of us. And then this group of four comes up and they're standing next to us because it's a sidewalk. You can't go like single file line, you know, who's clearly in the front.
Ah.
The hostess comes outside. She walks out. She immediately speaks to the other group next to us. Now, there are tons of open tables. And also, we had a reservation for two people.
Okay.
She starts talking to them. Immediately, he makes a comment to me being like, oh, well, guess we're being ignored. And it's kind of loud.
Oh.
And I just shrugged because I was like, there's tons of open tables. Like, there are literally two tops and four tops.
It's going to be
like,
okay.
It's not that we're not getting a table. You know? Yeah. If this is packed, you also have a reservation. Exactly. And my personality is very like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. So it all happens very quick. That happens. He says something to me. The guy that is talking to the hostess, I see his eyes turn over, like kind of glance at us. And then he says to the hostess, he says, yes, but they actually were here first. So I don't know. And kind of points at us.
Yeah.
The lawyer immediately goes, oh, yes. Thank you. We have a reservation for two. Actually, no, he did not say thank you, but he was just like, yes, we have a reservation for two. And she's like, oh, under what name? And I was like, under Erica. And she pulls it up. She's like, oh, okay. Right this way. Do you want a table on this side or that side or whatever? And he was like, oh, yeah, definitely that side. Then he just follows the hostess and walks. Did not address the other group of people.
Hmm.
And I then was like, oh. And I look at the other group. I go, oh, thank you. Sorry about that. Like, I felt the need to apologize because it just felt...
Yeah. Awkward.
It just felt... a little rude to me.
Yeah.
That I was like, okay. Like, it's okay. Plenty of seats. That's the part that I was like, it's fine. Plenty of seats. It's fine. Also when she asked him, she first was like, inside or outside? He completely answered all these questions with not even looking at me for an input.
Oh, interesting.
She was like, inside, outside. He was like, outside. She's like, this side. He was like, that side for sure. And I just was saying, they're like, okay. Like, okay. You know? I was like, all right. So we go and we sit, and I kind of like, it was just very fast that I was a little like, oh, that was kind of weird, but yeah. I'm not going to let it ruin the date. Like,
no, yeah.
I'll, you know? And then honestly, there's a few things that like, I can't exactly put my finger on, but for the very first time ever, I found myself in my head at one point asking, do you think if your friends or family met this person, they would like them just as a person?
Oh, interesting that popped into your head.
Yeah, and I really can't put my finger on what it was. It was like a lot of just little things that I think part of it was some of it came off a little bit arrogant. And the other part was just something I almost felt like an abrasiveness, but it wasn't an abrasiveness of like us even close to debating something. It was just this weird core feeling that I was like, I feel like people don't like you. And I don't know a better way to say this. And also,
yeah,
my total conclusion, I don't think this person's a bad person at all.
Yeah. I've had that feeling before. So when you were describing the situation and like what happened and stuff when you were like going into the restaurant, I was actually wondering in my head, did this continue as a pattern throughout the date? Which the abrasiveness thing that you're mentioning, like that sounds like it did continue. Because I think for me, it would be one of those things like, because that I assume that's the thing you were asking, like, is this a flag, right?
Kind of, yeah. Like the hostess part, I actually kind of didn't really remember or think about till the end when I left.
Yeah.
Where I was like, that was was weird, right? That was a little bit rude.
Yeah.
That it was like something just felt off to me, and like a core feeling that I was like, oh, that didn't feel good. Let me put it that way. It didn't feel good. Right. But I wasn't sitting there like, wow, clearly so fucking rude. Yeah. It was like a wind of it, a little glimpse of it that I was like, ooh.
Yeah. And then it sounds like throughout the date, you also kind of got that, like, I'm not sure that people like you very much. Like, you might move through the world in an abrasive way.
Yeah. Or I don't know if it was more a little bit of arrogance, because with server interactions, nothing, zero, nothing felt like rude or anything like that. But there was just a weird thing in my head being like, I feel like people don't really like you as a person. And what was making me feel kind of crazy was there were also great moments in the date and in our conversation that were fun or funny, that like I laughed a few times. Like I felt very comfortable with this person and at ease.
Yeah.
And I was very much enjoying the conversation, but there was almost a weird gut feeling that I was like, something isn't here. And I don't know if it's me not fully meshing. I don't know what it is. And I feel like I'm not even describing it great right now, because I truly was like, I have never had this feeling.
I understand what you're saying. Honestly, it sounds like a stereotypical lawyer vibe. Like, not that all lawyers are like that, but like,
what? I kind of just can't believe you said that, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
And to be super clear, I use the word stereotypical for a reason, because I'm not saying that all lawyers are like that. I obviously don't think that, but that is the stereotypical, like, very assertive, a little bit abrasive, like kind of arrogant, entitled. Yes. Corporate, like, you know, argues for a living. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's the, and again, I do not think all lawyers are like this at all, but like,
no, clearly that is, not. I mean, we're both friends with Rourke, and she's right, not
yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have many friends who are lawyers who are not like this, but that is the like,
and
stereotypical.
Can I say this too? I know some lawyers that are actually some of the funniest people I know too.
Absolutely. I mean, lawyers are typically extremely smart, and smart people can be way funnier because they can just think of things.
Right. And they're good writers as well. So it's you know, anyway, so this is not all lawyers are like this, but I it's like there's lawyer jokes, right? Have you ever heard a lawyer joke?
Yes, exactly. So like, this guy sounds like that stereotypical image of a lawyer who like has to argue everything, or, you know, is like you said, abrasive, or, you know, entitled in certain situations like that. That's the vibe that I'm getting from what you're saying, at least.
Yeah, I really couldn't put my finger on it. And this is, LA is rubbing off on me, but it was an energy thing that I was like, there's an energy here. There's a juju energy here. I can't put my finger on it. something is like rubbing me the wrong way, that, you know, where I just got this vibe. Like, I feel like a lot of people you meet are going to feel this, you rub them the wrong way, and they can't even say exactly what it is.
Right. Like, you're not a bad person. You're not like technically rude. I've had that experience. I don't remember what date this was. I didn't want to go out with him again for other reasons. We never went on a second date, and I can't remember who it was. But I remember thinking that, oh, if my friends met you, I think I would be worried about what you were going to say, or the way you were going to say it, and if my friends were going to get a bad impression. I'm like, oh, that's not good. I remember thinking to myself, like, that's not good.
Yeah, or if I look back to the hostess interaction, if there was like another couple with us, I feel like that'd be something that they'd be like, I didn't like that. I think that's what it is. It's like there's moments where you just go, I didn't like that. It's not such a problem that you're like, deal breaker, done. Absolutely no.
You know? I think it's one of those things that builds. Like, you notice the one thing, and maybe you don't even notice it in the moment. Like you said, you didn't reflect on the hostess thing until the end, but like, somewhere in your mind, it registered. Mm-hmm. And then like, you keep kind of noticing these things, and you keep kind of noticing these things, and you're like, each individual thing would not be an issue. If there's – people are going to say something that you're like, oh, that was kind of weird. Most people at some point probably will say something like that.
Right. Or we've all been this person of you're on your phone because you're in the middle of something and then you're like ordering a coffee or something else. And you probably came across as rude if you were like
totally
in the phone talking to the person. Like, I'm sure there's times I might have come off like a classic New Yorker of like quick, abrasive, like,
definitely.
I'm not here to talk, honey. I'm here to get things done. You know, the fucking
I got
New
places
York energy
to be.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do miss that energy a little bit.
Oh, God. That is literally the reason that I can't, that I like get extremely frustrated in Southern California when I'm there for too long. I'm like, can we fucking hustle?
There's just no urgency. It's crazy.
There's
and
no
what makes
urgency.
You feel crazy. And what makes you feel insane is you look around to see if anyone else is just annoyed. Like, I'm not going to say anything, but just anyone else annoyed, and nobody is. Nobody's
have
annoyed.
I told you,
no one has
have
anywhere
I told
to
you
be.
My, have I told you my panini story? This is when I realized that I could never live in San Diego. It was when I had been staying with my mom for a little bit, like of a longer period of time. And I was in line at a panini place, but I was just getting a juice. So I had just like grabbed a juice from like the fridge, right? And I'm waiting. And the person in front of me, I'm the second person in line. Person in front of me has ordered a panini. There's one person working. This guy makes this panini, puts it in the panini press, puts the panini press down, and then just watches the panini cook.
Shut up, really?
There's a whole line of people, and this man is just back to the line watching the panini cook. And it was this thing where I, like exactly like you said, I looked around to be like, does anybody else care about this? No one even noticed.
Yeah, that's the part that makes me feel crazy. Nobody seems even a little bit of a like, what's going on? Even
right, exactly
why it's taking so long.
Hi, I put my juice down and left. I'm like, I can't deal with this. I have to leave. So I get what you're saying. So how are you feeling about going out with him again then? Like, no, like thinking about all this.
So I kind of have a rule I follow typically. I won't say always. Okay. So maybe I shouldn't even call it a rule. But 90% of the time, I do let the man initiate the second date. Because I do kind of believe in that philosophy of, if he's interested, he will ask me on another date, right?
Okay.
So I feel I have a little bit of a loophole here. I'm sitting here being like, if you asked me on a second date, I would. Because I try to follow the at least give it 2 dates rule. Sometimes people are nervous. And sometimes people just don't give the best first impression, right?
Absolutely.
And there were a lot of good moments in the date that I was like, maybe it just was the hostess situation kind of threw me off. I'm not sure. It also was... Yeah. An early morning date, and I am not a morning person. So
yeah, I will never do another early morning after that coffee date where I mean that guy and I weren't a match to begin with, but I was like, I'm certainly not my best self in this moment.
Right. So I was like, all right, maybe if we did a ice cream date, something else, more walking around, it'd be a little bit different of an energy. So I would go on a second date if he asked me. However, I haven't heard a word since the date. So I feel like he's just not going to ask me.
It's a moo, mutual opt out.
Yeah. Or it's like, I just look at it like, well, the decision was made for me. I'm not even, you know, presented with it, the call of like, do I go on the second date? Do I not? I'm like, if he wanted a second date, I feel like I would hear from him. He was very communicative. I did like that about him. Like very much make a plan, very much even, you know, he had like some work stuff because, you know, being a lawyer, it's very demanding as well. So he was like, I have this thing, I got it finished and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, man, like, just let me know. Like, I was like, if you can't make it, totally fine. Like, I have other stuff to do that day. Yeah. So let me know. So yeah, not a bad person, but there was a vibe. I'll say the LA word. There was just a vibe that felt off, you know, but I like to try to give benefit of the doubt. So I would have done a second.
Yeah. I like that. So question, so you want to let the guy lead in terms of asking you out. Will you follow up after a date? Like just to say you had a good time or like reach out to them? What's your vibe there?
If they ask me to give the text I got home safe, yeah. Mm. I'll send the text that I got home safe. But usually no, because I do believe it is like fishing for another date a little bit, which is why I'm like, it's not a hard rule.
Yeah.
Because I also am the personality, if I really, really wanted to see someone again, it would be very hard for me to be completely silent if I didn't hear one word from them in like 2 days. But I would be stubborn of, I wouldn't bring up, hey, let's go on the second date.
Interesting. It's an interesting, like, I understand why you approach it that way, but it's interesting because you're also like all about, you know, oh, I would ask somebody out, or I'll walk up to somebody at a bar, or, like, all that stuff.
You know what it is? Because I think a lot of the times, these situations, I am the one initiating for the first date.
Yeah.
That so makes I'm sense. Like, match me for the second, you know, like it, almost like it, I totally made it easy fair. For you for the first. So I want to see a little work this way. Chaotic singles guy. I did the work. I asked for the number. I was like, hey, I'd like to go out sometime. We should exchange numbers. Like I made it very easy where it's like, I would say yes to a date with you. Here is my phone number.
I think
actually, I took his. He gave me his, so I even texted him that. You know, that was. Still
I think
me.
That's a really good point, because in a lot of the situations, because that's what I was trying to wrap my head around, is like, because in general, I know that your framework mm-hmm. is not like, oh, the guy should do all of the ask out, pursuing, whatever. But I think that makes a lot of sense. What you're saying of like, oftentimes, including this time, you have done a lot of the legwork leading up to that date. So it's like, okay, now we're gonna see if he can match my energy, match my vibe.
Yeah. I more look at it like, meet me halfway.
Yeah, totally.
I did the work of initiating the first date. That's usually actually the scariest one to initiate, especially if it's people in real life. Agreed. So I'm like, okay, if you want a second date, I believe I will hear from you. If you want that second date, I will hear from you. And I do think it is an indicator if they're interested in you. Because my old self would be all like, it doesn't matter. I could ask a guy out however many times. He keeps showing up. Obviously, he's interested. And I had enough scenarios where I kept doing that. And I didn't really think about it in this way. But now I look at it and I go, well, if you make it that easy for him.
Yeah, he's interested. But to what end? Like, he's interested to a point.
To what end? Right. And it's even the same with the texting. As dumb as it feels sometimes, I do believe in some of that stuff of like, hey, if I didn't reach out for a couple days, what I hear from this person. And I think Absolutely. It's very telling when you don't. So
I think that like balance makes a lot of sense where, you know, it doesn't sound to me like you're saying like, oh, it, you know, always has to be them or, you know, et cetera, like, but you're looking for somebody that can meet you halfway. And that makes so much sense because otherwise you end up in this pattern where like, oh, I guess it always is going to be me. And at some point you can't even blame the other person. Because it's like, that's yes. the dynamic that you established.
Right. Like, you know, we're doing questions today and I've gotten tons of questions where it's like, I've initiated the first three dates. I really want him to initiate the next one, you know? And I'm like, then let him. Like that's always my answer. It's like, well, then let him step back. Sometimes I think it's good to step back and let them do a little bit of work. See if they're going to do a little bit of work. I actually had a friend today call me about a guy she's been on four dates with. And the last couple, she felt like she was the one altering her day, altering her plans, kind of waiting by the phone a little bit. And they had a plan for a date, like a Thursday, all set in stone. And then all of a sudden he was like, hey, actually, could you possibly do Friday? I have something else Thursday.
Yeah.
And it was vague. And I said, he didn't tell you what it was. He wasn't like, I got a work event. I got invited to a Yankees game or some shit. And she was like, no. She goes, and I really feel like it's a date with another girl because he's been very lagging in the plans with me and like responses and all these other reasons. I won't get too deep into it. But when she told me the scenario, I was like, no, I go, you're not crazy. And you have every right to be like, no, actually, I can't do Friday because she had to cram it in. She's leaving town Saturday. So she's like, yeah, I wanted to do Thursday because I don't want to cram this in and leave town the next morning.
Yeah. And it's like,
you know, and I just was like, your feeling is correct. You're feeling like I keep moving shit around for you. And how much work are you really doing? And this man asked her to come to his apartment twice to like watch a movie and have dinner. And she said no the first time and was like, no, you know, I don't really want to do that. I want to like go out on a date.
Yeah.
And she was like, you didn't even remember that I said that to you and you asked me again?
Yeah, he doesn't sound like he's putting in literally any effort. And I wouldn't
That's what I said.
Like, who knows if it was a date with somebody else, like whatever. The fact being, though, that regardless of what it was, he didn't consider it as much of a priority as the plans he had made, but also didn't supply the reason. Like, there are certainly things that would be more important than a second date that you're like, I'm so sorry, I know we have this plan, but like, I now need to do this other thing.
Yeah.
Tell me what the other thing is, though.
But still,
Yeah. Like, tell me what that thing is. I know there are some things that I would agree. Yeah, okay, that, you know, whatever. but tell me what the thing is so that I can then understand why you're canceling on me.
Right. And I was asking her the questions of like, what are the other patterns? Do you really hear from him in between dates? And she's like, said, not really. And I was like, how do you feel?
I don't
and she
like goes, anything about this.
Right. Well, she's just, she said, she's like, I don't feel good. I forget the exact words she said. Shit. Now, of course I forget. I feel like I'm an afterthought. That's what she said.
Ooh, that's the worst feeling. I hate that feeling.
Right. And I was like, do you want to continue with feeling like an afterthought? I wouldn't like,
no, I wouldn't either.
You know? And I was like, yeah. Also, I said, you have plenty of other options. All of us have options. And I get it. We're like, hey, you listen to this pod. I haven't gone on a second date in a long fucking time. Okay. So I'm sure if I was her, I'm on date 4. I feel this chemistry. I'm into them. It is often hard to ignore those other things.
Yeah.
Where you're like, ah, but I got this far. And it's like, yeah, but I know at the end of the day, I still have other options. All of us have other options.
Yeah. I think that's that pattern is really, it's tough, like you said, but I think that's important to listen to. So, all right. So probably no second date for the lawyer.
I would be surprised if I heard from him because I left being like, the other thought I had leaving was, I don't know if he wants another date or not. What was interesting was he did do like a kiss on the cheek hello and also goodbye, but in the way like I kiss my family hello and goodbye. Like so it's not like you actually, that. Yeah, you don't actually fully turn the lips on the cheek kind of thing. And then during the date, I found out he is like part Italian, part Armenian. And this is bad. I forget the other part. But I just remember hearing it and going, oh, the kiss hello makes sense. Like those cultures.
Yeah,
do that.
It's a cultural thing. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I would be very surprised personally. But
yeah. All right. Well, getting out there, getting on dates, meeting people in person and going on dates with them. I like it.
Yeah. Doing what I can, you know?
Yeah. So I had my first in-person. I'm not sure if I actually mentioned this in the main pod. I said on the Patreon, but I have been trying to channel you a little bit more and commit myself to going to more in-person things, dating and otherwise, like not just dating events. And the first one I went to though happened to be a dating event. I went to the We Met at Acme Mixer last week and did not make any love connections there, but I did exchange numbers with two women and I'm hanging out with one of them when she's going on a trip when she gets back. So after mine and her trip.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
Expanding my network, meeting new people. You never know who those people are going to know. And just kind of growing. Also, growing the possibilities of other events that I might get invited to. Even if she doesn't know, like, you know, oh, she's going to this thing. We met at an event. That's clearly something we both like to do. Now we are an option for each other to ask to similar things.
Yes. And I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way for anyone listening. But we all have friends, right, that are our go-to friends. It's like the first three people we think of to invite to something.
Yes.
But we've all also been there when you hit up those three people, they can't go. And then you kind of think of who are my other friends that, you know, I'm not as close with, but people I know and would like to hang out with. And it's like, hey, I don't really care if I'm, quote, a secondary friend or lower on the list, but like I got myself on the list. So I got a chance now to get invited to something new with a new group of people.
Exactly. Literally that exact thing happened. So I went to the We Met at Acme Mixer on last Wednesday. I was supposed to go to another event, a non-dating event, like more like a networking thing the very next day. And I had asked Cindy to come with me. I had an extra ticket. I'd asked Cindy to come with me. But then towards the afternoon, she realized she had to stay home. She's dog sitting right now. She had to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up having to work late, so I couldn't go either. However, I then texted a bunch of people, like you just said, people that I really like but don't see that often.
Right.
That I know were kind of down for a random, you know, if they happen to be free, they'd be down to go to a random event. I texted a few of those people.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So now I have somebody else for that, you know, those kind of outings. And I also, because I went to that mixer that night, ended up buying a ticket to adult summer camp. So I am headed off to adult summer camp with We Met at Acme. It's called We Met at Camp when I get back, the weekend after I get back from here.
Hey, I love this. I just love seeing you put yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to camp by myself. I'm staying in a bunk with 10 people.
Great.
I'm excited about it. I like those kind of situations. Like, I'm not really nervous about that piece. Like, I know there's going to be – it would be great if there were guys there I was interested in. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. I know there's going to be a woman that I click with. Like, there's so many people there. There's going to be someone, probably more than one someone, that I will have fun with.
Yeah, you'll have fun in general. It looks like a really fun time. I was watching her post last year when she did
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they need more men. So if anyone listening knows any men that they think would be interested, let them know.
They do. So, and that was the only thing about the mixer that I went to. It was her first ever 30 plus mixer. Hope she does more because I love that concept. It was very, very, very heavily weighted toward women. And I think this is just a thing with dating events. It is tougher to get men out to them.
Well, I mean, especially if you have a female dominant audience. So, you know, no shade to Lindsay, but any event she throws, I see her constantly posting that she needs guys.
Yeah. And the same thing would happen if we tried to do, I mean, look at our live show. I mean, it wasn't a dating event, but like, we have a female dominated audience. And so.
That's why we did a live show and not a live dating event.
Very true.
That's true. Like, I would feel like a bad host if I didn't have close to an equal ratio. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying Lindsay is a bad host.
No, but of course.
It's a very hard task.
It's really hard
to get men to agree to an event that says dating specifically in the title.
Yeah. And so I was talking to a guy there. I basically talked to all the men there.
Well, look at you. Wow. You hit them all.
I talked to everybody. And I was talking to one of the guys, and he said that he follows a dating coach. He said who it was, I forget now, but he follows a dating coach on Instagram or something. And she had posted about this mixer. Probably, I think Lindsay very smartly reached out to people that have more men in their audience. And he was like, this is such a good idea for men to come to. Like, I didn't realize that these events existed and that there are so many women here. I'm like, yeah, this is fantastic for you. Tell your friends.
Yep. Tell your friends.
And everyone
listening should make, even if you've lived in your city for fucking ever, make a list of people you know. You're going to remember people and be surprised. And then you're like, oh yeah, that one person I worked with was such a fun time. We should get drinks and catch up. You never know. Like, especially if you're tired of apps. True. It's like, would you rather go out with a stranger from an app or catch up with an old friend? Personally, old friend for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like, I actually, there's a girl that I've been out to dinner with a couple times now that we met through this podcast, actually, on Instagram, but we have a lot of mutual friends. Like, I think I've maybe met her once years ago. She went to college with a lot of people that I know. And we've now had dinner three times. And every time we're like, man, this was really fun. We have to remember that this was really fun and hang out more.
Yeah. And I think it's a perfect thing if you feel like your apps are slow or you're not getting matches you're excited about or you just want to take a break. I think that's a great way to take a break and you get some social time in and you might expand your networks in so many ways, like not even dating. You might suddenly be like, oh, they might be like, yeah, actually, we're hiring for a position at work. And I think you'd be a great fit. Like, you never know. You never know.
Totally agree. So yeah, so that was my week. I did that. I was also supposed to have a date that I ended up canceling. We actually never made a solid plan, but I had agreed to go out with a man. Mm. And then the only time that he had available was 8 a.m. on Sunday morning for coffee, which, as we've discussed, is not when either of us are our best selves.
Very tough.
And I was leaving. I left for this trip on Sunday night. So I had I didn't have any available time after that. I was leaving on the trip. That was the only time he had available. But during the course of us discussing when we were available, it became clear to me that I don't think our lifestyles mesh. So one of the original things that we bonded about, he does triathlons. And initially we had bonded about both being like really into the sport that we do. Like, he's really into triathlons. He's met so many of his close friends through triathlons. And I feel that way about volleyball. And I was like, this is great. This is somebody who understands a hobby being such an important part of your life and like why I might be gone for the weekend playing volleyball or like, you know, prioritizing that. Mm. But then as we were going to schedule the date, he's on a totally different level. He's on like a structuring his entire life around his triathlons level.
Yeah, that's very tough. That's very tough for being social, period.
Completely. It sounded that way. It sounded like literally was like, he's like, well, that my only, not my only time for a date, my only time to like do anything social is 8 a.m. on Sunday before I train for the day.
This feels like the male version of freezing your eggs. Like, I'm doing a triathlon is the male version of like, listen, can't. I have a very tight schedule. Okay. I got to be at the gym at this time every day. All right. I got to eat these things. Okay. I cannot drink like so much shit.
All these things. You're not wrong.
A lot of money's on the line. All right.
You're not wrong.
You will not interfere with my training.
And I think sometimes like, okay, you know, someone's training for the New York City Marathon. That's a thing in their life at the moment. It's like a season of their life. This was like, this is this man's passion. Always.
Yeah.
This is always.
He needs another like super fitness head, bodybuilder, triathlon runner, something.
Something. Who's also like building their life around their training schedule and their competition schedule and all that stuff. And so we are just not a match. And he actually totally understood that, which I appreciated. And I was like, hey, like, you know, I told him, I was like, you know, I don't think it's going to work out before I leave for my trip because I'm not free at 8 a.m. on Sunday.
Yeah.
But also, I think maybe this just like isn't a great fit overall for that reason. He was like, I totally get it. Yeah, it's a different, you know, kind of life. I'm like, yeah, it is. And it sounds it seems like you're having a great time and that's what's important for you.
There you go. Is that one of your texting scripts to cancel a date? I don't know if you already said yes to it. Or like cancel you just get it to the point where they offer you a plan and you're like, actually, I don't want to do this ever.
Yes, that is one of my texting scripts. I think it's called How to Cancel a Date Forever.
Yeah. I can help you with some of those titles. Yeah, I'll give you a catchy title.
It's different. That's my title for that one. It's different than just canceling a date, right? It's like canceling a date like never ask me out again.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. And that's probably more terrifying than a lot of other situations of where you sit there, you go, I don't know what the fuck to say to this. Because also you feel guilty. You're like, you got yourself into this. You swiped right. You chatted. You said, yeah, let's go on a date. And then the day was coming and you're like, nope, nope. Second thought, nope. I'll just burn it. I'll burn it to the ground. You know,
burn it to the ground.
Yeah. Burn it to the ground. Nicely.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. assuming that, because he didn't do anything wrong. I learned new information though.
Yeah, like it's exactly.
I think if there are some times when I just decide not to go on a date, but like usually if I like it's rare. Usually if I decide not to go on a date that I've agreed to, I've learned new information that then like makes me realize that that date is not going to be a good use of either person's time.
Yeah, I get it. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
So yeah, that was my week. Now I'm in Prague. We're heading to Poland tomorrow already.
Well, there you go.
And we're having a good time.
It'll be great.
So, yeah. So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
That's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Should we get into our questions?
We should. Can I bring up a question though that was submitted to mine?
Please.
So I have a new saying that I'm probably going to say on the pod. All right.
Okay.
And I thought of it because of this question. Okay.
Great.
So let's do this as the very first question of this episode. Ready?
Okay. Yes.
My ex wants to hook up to bring us closer together.
This person bad idea? Has submitted to my AMA.
Okay, this is literally what I was about to say, Allie. I'll finish the question. I'll tell you what I was about to say. It says, bad idea, question mark. Can it work getting back with an ex, question mark. Okay.
They submitted it to me twice, word for word.
Oh, I have seen this question on three other dating influencers. Which, if you're listening to this pod, clearly the answer is no. Clearly the answer is no. You keep asking everybody. You keep looking for the answer you want
to
hear.
You're trying to get someone to say yes. It's no.
It's no. This ex wants to hook up to bring us closer together. This is my new saying, Allie. This is a scam. Okay? This is a scam. It's what I'm going to start telling people for advice because you know what? I think they take it less personally. If you just go, this is a scam. They're like, oh, shit. I was getting scammed. You're like,
I was getting scammed.
I was getting scammed, right? And it's this
happens
feeling
to the best
like,
of
hey,
us.
That,
happens
that can
the
happen
best
to
of
all
us.
Of us. It happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. It's not your fault. You were getting scammed, girl. You're getting scammed. There's terrible people out there scamming us.
Scammers.
There's scammers out there. It's not your fault. But this is a fucking scam if I've ever heard one. Oh my God.
Yeah, that has been submitted to me multiple times to the point. And then I saw it on yours. I haven't seen it. And it's word for word, so I know it's the same person. Like, it's quite literally word for word.
Yeah, I hope she actually hear this. She submits it again, and I'll be like, listen to the episode.
This is a scam.
It's a scam. And I'm going to call her out. I see you sending it to all these other dating people, and it's a scam.
If I get it again, I will just link this episode.
Nothing is more clear than seven people telling you no.
No one is saying yes. Because the other part that I – this person asks two questions in there, right? One,
right.
Is it a bad idea to hook up with my ex to bring us closer together? Obviously, yes. That is such a bad idea. That is not a good idea. But then asks, can getting back together with an ex like ever work? Those two questions are not related.
Yeah. No. No.
That is a completely separate question. It's like you're trying to get a yes to that question.
Yeah.
To justify the first part. Unrelated.
No. I mean, hot take. I really don't think getting back with exes works unless it's like, I think I posted this once in my story. Unless it's like the story was you graduated college and you were moving across the country or to another fucking country for like 5 years. And it was like, yeah, clearly this would be pretty impossible to work. And you reconvened when you moved back to the same town. Something like that. I'm like, sure, give it a shot. Right. But as a whole, No, this is.
I think it can work, but something has to have changed. That's my opinion is that something major has to have changed. Like
exactly.
The reason you broke up has to have changed.
Like vicinity. that's
yeah,
the
there
one
yeah
I could think
many
of.
Options, many options for the things, but this is not in that category. No, don't do this. Don't do this, listener or follower.
Yeah, I will give credit to this though. I have yet to hear this excuse from a man ever.
It'll bring us closer.
We should have sex. It'll bring us closer together. They just, you know.
Scam.
That's one thing, man. Yeah, it's a scam, but wow, these scammers keep surprising us, huh?
These scammers keep coming up with new ideas.
Yeah.
Loved starting out on that one. So we have four questions today. Two of them are related, though. I thought it was interesting. Let's start with those. So I thought it was interesting that we had two people kind of submit different versions of a similar question.
All right, hit me.
Okay, so the first one. Hey, Allie and Erica, I met a guy in a pub late last year. We hit it off, kissed, and exchanged numbers. We texted a bit, but I became exclusive with someone else and stopped replying to him. I know this was not the ideal way to handle it, but we had only exchanged a few texts. I'm no longer in my previous relationship. I'm dating again. And I'd really like to reconnect with him as we had a good time and I was very attracted to him. But now it's been a few months and I have no idea about his current relationship status. Do you have suggestions for a message I could send him or should I not bother?
I mean, my vote is to bother.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And like
what
I said, with my little
lose?
friend list, you could bother him. And if that doesn't work, bother some other man from
bother
your little list.
Somebody else.
Okay.
How would you approach that though? Yeah. How would you approach it? Because the implication, I guess she never said why she stopped responding, but like to the guy.
Well, she said she got exclusive to someone else.
To the guy though. Like he doesn't know. Sorry. He doesn't know why. Like she never told him, hey, I've started seeing someone. Like he doesn't know that part. How would you approach it? Because if I'm the guy, I need a reason. Like if someone just like stopped replying to me all of a sudden and then it's just like, hey, what you up to? I feel like I'm pretty unlikely to just be like, let's jump back in and pretend that never happened.
Okay. I kind of am on the side. I don't think she needs to fully address it. I agree with what you're saying. So one thing I'm curious is, do both of them have iPhones? I think a kind of funny way to do this is to reply directly to one of his messages.
What an idea.
Like, and you could literally do a joke of circling back on this or something.
I saw a TikTok. This went viral a while ago, but there was a TikTok of two people on Tinder who just have been replying to each other for like years, months later, and each one of them will be like, "Hey, sorry, I was in the shower, didn't see this."
Oh my god, it's a very funny bit. That's a fun joke you could make too. You could go, "Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was in the shower, didn't see this." And I would. This is what I would do. I would send that as the first message individually.
Yeah.
Some type of light thing, whatever. Or you could even just say, hey, how have you been? Like if you'd rather keep it simple, if you're too nervous to make a joke, you can go so simple on this. I think don't overthink it. Okay. Yeah. And then the next message, I would address it and say, first, I'm sorry I stopped responding. I had started seeing someone at that time and I wasn't mature enough and didn't know how to communicate that and, you know, shouldn't have left you on read. Yeah. Just call it out. Just say, I was being immature. That wasn't cool of me. You know, my bad. I'm sorry. Whatever. And I would just leave it at that because the initiating this whole thing is just like, am I going to get an answer from this person?
Yeah, because right now it's a total unknown. We don't know if he's even available, let alone still interested.
Exactly. So, but the first thing would just be, are they even going to answer my text?
Yeah.
So I agree with like, yeah, own it, say I was immature. You know, I say, I think it's perfectly fair to say I started seeing someone. I just didn't know how to say that and have, you know, at the end of that, a question that's like, how have you been? Or if you opened with that, do the thing second. But I say, keep it short, keep it brief, take the blame, call yourself an asshole, whatever your natural wording is, you know?
Yeah. I'm wondering if I would even, I like your suggestion and I think that's a great option. I love the joke. I love breaking the ice with that. Just like getting back, you know, finding a way to get back in there. That's not just like, hey, you know, that's like acknowledging the length of time that it's been. I wonder if I would even say, like, give him the specifics of why, like acknowledge it and apologize and say like, hey, you know, sorry, like, sorry, I fell off the grid or something like that. How have you been, et cetera? And maybe it comes up later and I'm not going to hide it by any means. I could go either way, though, on like being totally upfront about that out of the gate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because how long was it going to go? If it was a full year ago, there also is a slight chance they have that message thing that like deletes messages if they're too long ago. You know what I mean?
Oh, like to save space?
Yeah. Some of their conversations. That's a far-fetched theory. I think you got to address it one way or the other, because I get it of if you say like, I started seeing someone, I didn't know how to communicate that. Might be a turnoff where they're like, yeah, you picked somebody over me. Cool.
You picked somebody else. Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, it seems like they kissed in a pub. They never went on a date.
Yeah. Was it really choosing
one over the other? No.
I don't think so. To me, it sounds like we don't have that much information, but it sounds like she was like, much further along. She became exclusive with somebody. Like, obviously that person, they'd been seeing each other already when she made out with this guy.
Shit. Well, maybe a good move is she makes a joke of like, hey, I'm going to insert pub name tonight. Any chance I'm going to see you there?
Oh, I love that joke. I love that joke.
Why not? Something like that.
That's great. Okay. Yeah, so on that, I say reach out. At the very least, just send the joke and see what happens. And then you can decide. See if you get an answer. Then you can decide how much information to give him, what to say, etc. On the same topic, though, is our next question. Okay. On the same note, we have another listener who was in a dating two people situation. Went slightly different though. She says, last summer I was dating two guys and I ended up pursuing a more serious relationship with one over the other and ended things with the second, though I didn't tell him why exactly, which I feel bad about now. The one that I quote unquote chose ended up not being a great guy and we ended things a few months later. A few months after that, I tried reaching out to the other guy to apologize and see if he'd be interested in meeting back up again. He didn't answer. Now I find myself still thinking about him and wishing I had, quote, chosen him or thinking about what could have been. I even catch myself wanting to send another message or follow up in some other way, but I haven't, taking his lack of response previously as a response. How do I stop regretting this and daydreaming about what ifs?
Oh, I mean, this is the hardest thing to be like, how do I stop myself from thinking about this? It's like when you have just a breakup and you're like, I know that wasn't the right person for me and all these reasons. And yet still you're like, I still keep thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
I think she is correct to not reach out again, especially you reached out with an apology. You got no answer. That's your answer. And also, yep. It's been such a long time since then that I'm like, I'm in the camp. You got to let that go. You got to let it go. So I respect her behavior so far, and I understand the second question. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I really have any solid advice for how do I stop thinking about this / regretting this. Because when I've been in that situation, the only answer I have is it's just time. Yeah. Like I was in therapy being like, give me fucking something. Like I literally restarted therapy because of having those consistent thoughts where I was like, why the fuck am I not over this yet? Like, I just want to be over it and not.
What was the advice? Like what advice did your therapist give you at the time besides wait it out?
Well, clearly nothing. Cause I have nothing. I have nothing to relay. I have no secondhand therapy for this person. I also dumped that therapist. You know, there's just
lots going on.
I think the only thing in general with anything bothering you or on your mind is to keep busy. I guess that's the only thing I got in my pocket, to be honest, is like keeping myself busy. But sometimes I would be even more annoyed where I had the busy, busy day and I was not thinking about it at all. And then I come home and I'm alone by myself and I'm like, fuck that guy, he's popping in now, you know?
Yeah, I have also been there, and something that has worked for me in the past is a diversion tactic of like, it's almost like, have you ever seen that advice about keeping a rubber band on your wrist and like it's like a habit forming thing of like snapping the rubber band?
I didn't know that's what it is, but I've had laser hair removal before and I didn't even notice I was hitting myself in another spot to distract my mind from the pain on my bikini line.
That's really funny that you just did that naturally.
Like, I didn't realize I kept hitting my chest, hitting my shoulder or something with my hand.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this isn't painful at all. And then all of a sudden the person was like, yeah, because you keep hitting yourself and distracting
your hitting mind. Yourself. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's okay. Really interesting.
Maybe I should try that for my next bikini wax because as discussed on the Patreon, didn't go so well this last time.
Yeah, well.
If you didn't want to sign up for the Patreon before, now you know what you can get.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on bikini wax talk on the Patreon.
Yeah, don't.
But diversion tactics have worked for me before, where when I find myself thinking about someone, I do something else consistently. So whether that's like text a certain friend or call a certain friend or like go for a walk or like do a thing that I'm like actively diverting my mind from.
Yeah.
I did this when I first broke up with ASV, or when he first broke up with me, more accurately. And I was wrecked. I was very blindsided and I didn't know how to stop thinking about it. And I really resonate with this regret feeling because we had had a big fight a few days before the breakup. In hindsight, it is not the reason we broke up.
Right, but it felt like it at the time.
It felt like the reason. And it was – the fight was fully my fault. That particular fight was fully my fault. And it felt at the time like if I just hadn't have started that fight, we would still be dating. And like, that's not true. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't stop myself from going back and being like, man, if I hadn't gotten mad about that one thing, or it was actually sad and upset, but like if I had just let that one thing go, we would still be happy. No, mm-hmm. That's not true. But I started, my therapist at the time recommended that I start like diverting myself from that thought. So like when I'm having that thought, actively saying other things out loud helped me. Mm. You can't, it's extremely difficult. In fact, it might be impossible, but it's extremely difficult to say one thing out loud and think another thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe so, only musicians that can like play an instrument and sing at the same time can pull that off. Cause I don't know how the fuck they do that.
Very hard. But so it's really difficult. So I started reading out loud when I was thinking about it.
Oh, you just
pick up a book, start reading it out loud, start reading it.
Interesting.
And it seemed silly. Ideally, it's a book that you're interested in because then you'll get interested in the book. But it's also like when you're saying the words out loud, your mind literally cannot think of the other thing. Force yourself to continue to say those words out loud. I agree with you though. It is mostly time. And mm-hmm. I think it is just about getting through that amount of time where suddenly you realize, oh shit, I haven't thought about that person in a week, in a month, in 3 months.
Yeah. I never heard that reading something out loud. You know what I like about that? I have never been able to get on board with like positive affirmations, saying them out loud. Like it just makes me feel dumb, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel that.
That I'm like, that's just not my vibe. Some people love that shit. They do that stuff every morning. If that works for you, great. It is not for me. That I would probably do the method that you said, like reading something out loud or even just reading something in my head to just get your mind focused on something. But I like the out loud part. I do.
The out loud really, so that's easy. I tried just reading because my therapist had said out loud and I was like, that sounds dumb. And so I just tried to read and reading didn't work. My mind was wandering. It was the out loud part was actually the most important part. The other thing that I really liked about that advice of hers, I am somebody who tries to think their way out of feelings all the time. It's like the main thing I work through in therapy is that I try to think my way out of feeling stuff. Mm-hmm. This played into that because she was able to talk to me about the science of why your brain can't think about something. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, okay. This makes logical sense. I could do that. And that would work.
Yeah, totally. So you know, I actually, I think this is a little bit of a hot take. Okay.
Okay.
I know I said, I do not think you should reach out to this man. However, I did just remember there have been times I've been in the situation of, you know, making a move and it wasn't received of just a DM, whatever. And sitting there saying to myself, they do not want to go out with you, Erica, or they are not interested. But some part of me was like, I just need to get rejected twice to learn the lesson. And it almost was like, I need to embarrass myself more or to a level that I go, yep, okay, we got the signal now. Now
we're done.
We have the signal, you know, like where you're just like, yep, okay. So like, you know, then that made my brain be like, no, that was pretty embarrassing last time. You're not even going to think about doing it a third time. You're like, well, learned that lesson. Learned it pretty hard.
Fool me twice. But, shame on
me. And the other thing too is
scam.
Like, this is a scam. Tell yourself it's a scam. Maybe that'll work here. I don't know. Repeat that mantra every morning. That man was a scam. That man was. Oh, that has a nice ring to it. That man was a scam. Hey. Like in general with these things that are not long relationships, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you had a very long relationship, left it, and you're like, crap, maybe that was like a really great guy. It actually is often harder with these things that are not that long because you're in full kind of honeymoon phase and it doesn't get that deep and you don't actually really know this person that well. So there's still this like kind of more perfect person in your mind as opposed to the relationships that you actually date them for a while and you actually learn more of their flaws and more of their just like annoyances and more of the real compatibility things. And I had that with, I think it was relationship guy. My one friend said to me that she was like, no, there's a lot of qualities about him that you already had like complained about a little that she said, I think we're just going to show more through. And I think you were actually going to get tired of a lot of that relationship, but you just were still in this happy couple month honeymoon, having fun phase. Right. That it's like, yeah, because it didn't get deep. It was more like you were craving the lightness and the funness and also the excitement in the dating. Because the thing she didn't mention, right, is like, I don't know how dating has been going for her. Of like, if you broke up with that guy, what, basically at the end of last summer? So it's been about a year. It's like, yeah, you might have had a year where you're like, damn, I just haven't been having as much fun or as excited or really had people I was so interested in the way I was interested in two guys at one time. And that's also probably making you go back a little bit in the Rolodex, that you're like, ah, maybe I should try again with that guy because it feels easier than finding a new person, which we've all had.
I thought that, absolutely. I thought that when I ended things, or when he ghosted me, whatever we want to call it, when things ended with the disco ball, no part of me wanted actually to reach back out to the journalist, the guy that I had ended it with at the time. I knew that we weren't a match, but I did have moments in the ensuing months where I was like, man, there was a time when I was interested in three people, because I also had the comeback kid at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a time when I was genuinely interested in three people that I thought were all really great. And didn't that feel so great to have this like abundance mindset? And it was really difficult to be like, man, and now there's no one.
Yeah, it can be tough. That's something I get frustrated with. It's just like not having somebody pop up, whether it's an online date or an in-person, that I just genuinely have an interest in.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. Like, like we always say, like, fuck the spark, right? And I still do believe that. But I did have a little bit of a toxic thought after my date this past weekend where I walked away and I was like, fuck it, I want a spark. I want a damn spark. Like, I was like, just give me a toxic spark for just a second. Just exciting. To feel it. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to feel it, you know?
Something.
And I still stick by, I think the spark is not a good thing, but it's more, I'm like, it's something in the middle, right? It's like, you don't want to feel nothing. You don't want to feel this extreme sparky thing. It's like, you just want a little excitement. You just want to feel excited to go 100%. On another date with that person, you know? But I was just like,
absolutely.
I was just like, give me a fucking firework over here. Give me something. Give me. All right. This one, a little shorter. Okay. Any tips for managing emotions when you see that a guy you have been dating updated their dating app profile? Obviously, I feel like a bit of a hypocrite because I am clearly still on the app, but it doesn't feel good having it in my face. Didn't you have this happen to you?
I did. Yeah. Mm. So it's happened a couple times. And my first – this is a very difficult thing to execute. But my first suggestion is to stop looking at their profile.
Yeah.
Don't do that. You are never going to feel good. You are only going to feel bad. Like, it's because if you look at their profile and nothing's changed, that's not even a good feeling. That's just neutral. Right? Like, you don't – that doesn't mean anything. Not that this means something. But, like, that's just neutral. However, if they've changed something, yeah, that sucks. Even if you've also changed yours, even if you don't yet want to be exclusive with this person, it sucks to think about the person that you like dating other people, even if you're not ready to only date them. Like, that just is a shitty feeling to have in your face if you are monogamous. And so there's no good – that can come out of looking at this. So just fucking stop. And
I mean, the only good thing about it, I think, is it's a little bit of a sign. I would take this as a sign that they're still dating other people, or at least you're not exclusive.
Oh, well, yeah. But I think I wouldn't use that. Like, yes, you're right. It means that you're not exclusive. But I think, like, if you want to be exclusive with the person, have that conversation. Like, don't use the app changing as the proxy for that. But if you're in a place.
No. Yeah, don't.
If you're in a place where you also don't want to date other people, or sorry, you also don't want to be exclusive. Like, I have been in situations where I was early dating someone. Early. Mm-hmm. Second date. Third date. Do not want to be exclusive with this person. Like them a lot. Not there yet. And still seeing that sucks.
Oh, yeah.
I have actually been upfront about somebody, to somebody, about unmatching them for that reason. To be like, hey, like, just so you know, like, I'm still like really enjoying like hanging out or whatever. I did this in person. I've done this once and it worked well for me. It's like, just so you know, like, I'm still really enjoying hanging out. Like, I think I'm going to like unmatch you on the app because like, I'm just would rather focus on our in-person connection and like not kind of have that there. And he appreciated that.
Well, I'm a little confused of how did he appreciate it? Because you didn't say, I noticed you were changing stuff.
Oh, no. It wasn't because he had changed something. I did okay. This the next time I dated somebody because I had seen it happen before and it bothered me. And I was like, I'm going to preempt this and I'm just going to test out unmatching somebody. But I don't want him to take that as a sign that I'm not interested. Because we've gotten that question before too. Of like, hey, this guy, I've been seeing this guy. We've been going on great dates, but he unmatched me. Is that a bad sign?
Yeah, that's a different thing. But it's interesting because I feel like you saying that is also saying, hey, I'm still actively on this app.
Yeah.
Like I'm on it enough that seeing your profile there is not, you didn't say it's bothering you, but it's like you're seeing it enough that you did something about it.
Yeah. And I guess I was just upfront about that.
Yeah.
So because I agree with this listener that like it sucks and also you feel like a hypocrite because you're like, here I am. And I've also been in a situation where I'm like, I updated mine. I have new pictures on my profile. Who am I to be upset that so does he?
Right. And also she said dating, I wish we knew like how many dates or how long they've been dating for. Because look, I'm in the camp like you're dating this person 2 months and then they change their profile. I don't think you have to tell them you saw the profile change, but I personally would take that as a like, oh, he does not see me as his girlfriend or even a potential girlfriend. Like I feel like
if you want someone to see you that way, have that conversation. Like don't.
Yeah. Like, no, I mean, that's what I'm getting at is I'm like, oh, like, you know, that might depend on the person. I don't know how much fun she's having, like dating other people or being on the app. But for me, I'm like, if I see that and it really bothers me on a level where it's like not, we've been on two dates or to be fully honest, if we have slept together and I see that shit, that would bother me personally. Or I'd be like, okay, clearly he's like still interested in other people.
Yeah, I understand that.
And it's like, would I have a conversation of exclusivity? That I think depends on the situation, how long we've been dating, how sure I am even. But
I think giving yourself a little bit of grace that I know she feels like a hypocrite. I have also felt like a hypocrite in the scenario where I also don't want to have the exclusivity conversation. So it's both.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to have that conversation. I'm not ready for that. And feel shitty to like know for sure you're seeing other people. Like both of those things can be true, I think. So that's where I've done, if I can't stop myself from looking, if I'm doing it and I can't stop myself, that's when I go for the unmatch.
Interesting, because some of them you can just hide the message.
Yeah, it depends on how much self-control you have because you can still go into that hidden folder.
Yeah, true, you can.
It is better not to see it though, because the thing that flagged that this happened for me with the rower. This happened with the rower that he had changed his profile. This wasn't the one that prompted me to have that conversation with the next person, but his profile picture changed and he was still visible in my like inbox of conversations in Bumble.
Yeah.
And I was just used to seeing it there. So I knew what his profile picture was and then it was different. Mm. That's when I was like, let me click on that. And it all spiraled.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually had a friend, a guy changed one of his pictures to the picture that he sent her of himself on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And she that was like, are you disco ball. Fucking kidding me? Yeah, it's more in the, I don't want to say red flag sign because it doesn't mean like the person's a bad person. But I think it is more in the camp of like, this might not be going the direction that you want it to go in.
I mean, candidly, I uploaded a lot of Grease photos to my dating app profiles, including Tinder, while I was still talking to the publicist. And like some of them were photos that I had sent him. And I don't know if he was looking, but like that wasn't going in a direction. Like I was already feeling like it wasn't going in a direction that was going to lead to something. And, you know, I was kind of refreshing the apps and using those pictures and whatever. But yeah, I feel this is a shitty feeling.
Yeah, it's shitty, but unfortunately, I feel like it's something that kind of comes with the territory.
Yes. Yeah, it definitely is. Okay, we have one more. She matched with a guy on Bumble. They talked over the app for 4 days. Good convo, both light and a little deep for app talk, like sharing what red flags about us to others, like funny stuff, etc. He's divorced. She said, I prefer to get off Bumble and move to text when the convo is going well. But before I mention that, he told me that he likes to stay in the app. Okay, fine. He finally asks me on a date. I say yes. It was late, so we agreed to talk the next day to make plans. Again, fine. He never messaged me the next day. Then this is interesting to our previous conversation. She says, not to be anti-feminist, but I expect to be asked out. He needs to lead that. The following morning, day after the day we were supposed to talk, apparently when they were originally talking, I wish we had the screenshot because I think it would be easier, but apparently when they were originally talking, he had said, let's nail down a date. So she thinks she's going to be cute. She sends two hammer emojis a couple days later, like in response to the let's nail down a date. She sends two hammer emojis. He unmatched me. So
okay.
Her first question, her first thing that she says is like, first, if you would rather unmatch than initiate, that's not my guy, big picture, no loss. But to be honest, it stung a little bit in the moment, especially because it was such a 180 from the week leading up to it. And it's not like he was going to be rejected. I said I wanted to make plans. My question is this normal? Is this happening to other people? What would everybody else have done? It was getting late into the next day, the day we were supposed to make a plan without hearing from him. Would you wait for him or message first? So basically she's asking like, this is kind of like dragged on. She ended up doing like a yoo-hoo, hello kind of text. And he unmatched her, which like, obviously, you know, okay, not my guy, right? Like clearly. But going forward, how would you handle this situation?
Can I make a comment though about her situation that she gave us?
Of course.
I hope you don't take offense to this, but I do think you're overreacting a little bit because he did actually ask you out on a date. We were like, ask me out, bro. I'm like, he did. He asked you out. He was like, let's nail down a plan the next day. And then you essentially never heard from him again. Shitty nonetheless. Okay.
He did ask her out. Very true.
He did ask you out. And also his behavior. Honestly, when men are like, let's stay in the app, big cheating vibes to me. And I know that's not necessarily true, but there was a lot of sketchiness.
Didn't you recently tell someone that you wanted to stay in the app?
Yeah, I said when men do it.
Okay.
When men do it, I get a cheating vibe. When women do it, it's usually
but you
about
can do
safety.
It?
Yeah,
I agree with you about the safety thing.
No man has ever hit me with, I really prefer to stay in the app.
I've never heard that, you know, either, I mean? But I don't know that I get a cheating vibe from it.
Yeah, I might. Anyway, there's according to her recap, I was like, there's a few sketchy things in general that truly I don't think you missed out on anything with this man, and you absolutely should not take it personally. Because the truth is, most people cannot handle confrontation whatsoever. Literally, even in a virtual little app that they haven't even met you yet, and you're just following up. Because whether it's a cheater or not a cheater, like I just threw that theory out there. At the end of the day, it's like, well, it sounds like he didn't want to go on the date. He unmatched you instead.
Yeah.
Right? If he wanted to go on the date, he would have just said, oh, my bad, and made the plan.
Yeah, not your guy.
Yeah, the people unmatching, I've had this happen here and there. And that's kind of why I try to not pay super attention to the app. However, obviously, it's easier to do that when you're like, naturally, maybe there's someone you're more attracted to. Or the conversation was better and better banter. So you're already sitting there like, oh, but we were hitting it off kind of vibe, right? So they're more memorable in your brain as opposed to, you know, I've come back to the app and been like, I know I definitely had like 5 or 6 convos and, you know, one of them's gone or whatever.
Yeah. And then you're like, which one was that again? You're like, oh, I guess it wasn't that important.
Yeah. I oddly do think this is normal, both men and women. I've heard friends be like, yeah, I said yes to a date and then I didn't know how to respond. So I just unmatched them just to be like, well, that's done.
And I've done that in the past. Not proud of it. I would prefer to have said something. But yeah, it does happen.
Right. So if anybody unmatches you on an app, I say don't take it personal. Because we're never going to know what the exact reason was, truly. Because they could also just have, you know, been done with the app where they're like, fuck this, I'm over this. And everybody got deleted, you know?
And everybody got deleted. It
might be true. Or a hard truth we don't like to think about, but it can also be true, is they're going on dates. They could have hit it off with somebody else.
Also very true.
They were just like, I would rather just unmatch this person than say, I met someone else that I'm into more than you.
Yeah, or they deleted their app because they're now with somebody else, and so they're not even unmatching you specifically, like you said. Everyone got deleted.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is helpful advice, but I'm very like, this definitely happens. I think it's one of those things you have to not take personally. Because I would prefer this than someone that is being vague and gray with me and kind of dicking me around. I'm like, just unmatch me. Ghost me. Unmatch me. I'll get the
hint. I mean, I'm glad that you never, like, I think part of this, and she knows this isn't her guy, but part of it is like, well, I'm glad I didn't end up going out with this person who probably was going to eventually do something like this or end things or whatever.
Yeah.
I probably, because you're right, he did ask her on a date. And then she said, like, we agreed to talk the next day to make plans. This might be semantics. She doesn't actually say it. It doesn't say he said he'd follow up. So, like, I'm in the camp of, like, I think this was on both of you to then reconvene after he fully asked you out, reconvene to decide on what time you're going out. But she kind of handled it like it had been fully on him.
Yeah, and I don't think she's like wrong just to ask him out. Yeah, she's not wrong to do that. I mean, plenty of people have that in the app totally. You know who I saw who actually does? What was her name? Lauren Zoller? Okay, yeah, so I didn't know this because we interviewed her about the work that she does. So we didn't really ask her like specific dating advice questions like this. She's actually somebody that she won't even bring up, let's go on the date. She's actually very all about like the feminine energy and I want this, this, and this. And my theory on all that stuff is if that's the standard you want to have, keep that standard. And it sounds like that's totally the standard this woman wants to have, right? And and she might be feeling it extra, like we said early in the episode, Bumble, you're initiating the conversations. So you're sitting there being like, hey, I am doing legwork. So that's my version of match me. Come match me where I'm at. Because it also doesn't sound like she sits there saying, I don't want to talk for like 2 days. Let's move it along. And is also mad that they're not asking. And is also out. Mad.
No, I don't.
Right? Like either. I'm like, if you want to play the feminine energy game, to me, the feminine energy is being lazy. And when I don't want to do any work, honestly, like, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing because I've been in those phases. And I guess you could even say I'm a little bit in one with my second date kind of thing that I do. But I'm like, yeah, if that's what you want to do, fucking do it. You know, hold that standard. But then when you get complainy about your own standard, I kind of don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. I think if that's how she feels, I probably wouldn't have sent those hammer emojis. Like if you want somebody who's going to fully pursue, fully ask you out, nail down the date, you know, do all of that legwork to get both of you on the date, you don't want to send that Yoohoo text. And I'm not against the Yoohoo text because I'm not somebody who needs someone or wants someone to fully do all of the 100% of the legwork. But if you are, then that text is not going to serve your purpose. That text is not – that hammer emoji text is not going to lead where you want because that's not the dynamic you're looking for.
I honestly would even tell this girl, don't even be on Bumble. If that's the energy you want and you want someone fully pursuing you, go on a different app then where you don't have to be the one to message first. Because I get it. I've had plenty of scenarios where I was annoyed with one part of the process and feeling the exact same fucking way. I know we veered from the matching thing, but I'm like, you make your own standards for yourself. So don't go, I'm kind of like, just don't complain about the standard you set because you could change your standards whenever you want. And I'm all for if you want to have that standard. you know, like no hate.
Yeah. But yeah, the unmatching I think is pretty normal, unfortunately. I wish that that didn't happen, but it does.
Yeah. It's you can't take it personally. I mean, yeah. Even the changing the pictures, I'd be like, it's hard to not take all this shit personally, right? Yeah, obviously, what was it? Two weeks ago, I was talking about I'm not getting as many matches as in New York, and I was taking that shit personally. All right,
yeah, of course. It's hard not to. It's hard not to.
Sometimes we're all Michael Jordan, and I took that personally. But similar to Michael Jordan, from an outside view, you're all like, "Damn, Jesus!" You don't have to take it that personal, you know.
And you're doing great.
Yeah, you're doing great. You're trying, all right?
You're out there. Well, those are our hot topics for today. As always, if you want to submit a question for our next Hot Topics episode, we have a submission form at findingmrhyde.com/podcast. And if you like these kind of episodes, we do these all the time on the Patreon. Patrons have a dedicated form where they can submit questions for just the patrons. We answer them on our Ask Us Anything episodes of the Patreon. So check us out there.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Talk to you next week.
Bye.